Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies record in a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome once again to the Two Johnnies Podcast. We're bringing you all the news, fun and crack from the world of the Two Johnnies and beyond. I'm Johnny Smacks.
I'm Johnny B.
You're very welcome, lads. Podcast number 5 now, coming to you not from our usual location in Two Johnnies HQ, Kerr, County Tipperary. We're coming to you from the plush surroundings of RTE.
Nutley Lane.
Nutley
Dublin
Lane.
Dublin 4.
Yeah, we're in RTE, fresh off the plane from Edinburgh. So we met Maura here and we're going doing our podcast from RTE. And we're going to go around, just lick a bit of arse as well around RTE. Who knows? Why not?
I'm going into the canteen and those cups that say RTE on them, I'm just going to get about 50 of them, bring them home to the mother, and every day she can have a little RTE cup of tea.
I'm going to go and try and find Leo from Fair City and just ask him how he got the job.
Is he still in Fair City?
He is. Is he? He is.
I don't watch Fair City.
Oh!
It's grand. I pay my TV license fee, though. It's fine.
Bombshell. Yeah. I seen Paul in the canteen. That's made my day.
Just asking for a bit of women advice, right? No?
I didn't know.
Okay, coming up on this week's podcast, we are celebrating Ireland's Grand Slam win, asking if it means that rugby is now our national sport, talking about another national pastime, drinking, and discussing whether we should really be doing it on Good Friday, and the Irish relationship with drink. And Johnny B.
Your favourite retired senior hurler, Massey Ferguson enthusiast, Noel, will be here with the news.
Maura will be putting us under the microscope with her mystery topic, and we'll give you our yurts and dirts from the week. Also, firstly, any other business from last week's podcast?
Matters arising from last week's committee meeting, Mr. Chairman. We were talking about dodgy tattoos, and I found the photo of the girl from Waterford who had Chips Cans John Milan tattooed on her thigh, and I can confirm it is deadly. So.
There's also a fella, and he sent us in one. He has a love heart on his chest with "Mam" wrote in the middle of it.
That came in all the way from Boston.
Yeah, is it, yeah?
Yeah, that's the way he's
meant. I was just about to say it's normally an American thing. Fuck it definitely is now, and yeah. Also, Julie messaged us to say, just to let us know that she did event management like Maura's sister, and all she learned is how to stretch €20 to get as much drink as possible and how to roll fags. Some laugh all the same, she says. I'd say, I don't think you'd be bringing Julie home to Mammy, lads. Somehow or another now, I can't see Mammy Smacks entertaining.
But you would go out for drinks with Julie. She sounds like good fun.
You'd probably go for a drink and a few fags.
A few home-rolled fags.
Okay, our weekly roundup. What has been going on in Two Johnny's land? Oh my God, where do we start?
Okay, so we're just off the plane from Edinburgh. But before that, we were in Coola, which is Dalkey in County South County Dublin. They were in the All-Ireland Club Hurling Finals against Napiershick of Limerick City. And blew me away. Two great clubs. Dalkey is a hurling stronghold, I can tell you that, lads.
Yeah, it is, in fairness.
Fact.
We thought they just like ate salmon and avocado and stuff up there. But there's a lot more substance to them than that. No, they're hurling mad up there, and the whole town is really, really behind it.
It is. Just quickly, their support, right? They get about 1,000 people up to the clubhouse, and they march down the town in procession all the way to the dart station. They have 2 darts rented. I know.
Yeah.
Absolute poshness. Rented 2 darts. And then they all get the dart into Connolly Station, and then they all march in unison, singing songs, up to Croke Park.
We also went to Limerick City then, down to meet in the Pearshig. We know the lads down there, and pure passion again.
Yeah.
Then we took to the streets of Limerick City, and a lot of rugby supporters in Limerick, lads, let me tell you that.
We were chatting to one fella. He was wearing a Munster jersey, and we're asking him about the game. Oh yeah, it's going to be a good game, you know what I mean? And then a couple of boys walked past, you know, with the white socks up over their tracksuit. They were just shouting, "Peter, are you going to be on the news?"
No, they're gas. We went on a Ferris wheel then in Limerick as well. Don't ask me why there's a fucking Ferris wheel in Limerick, but it was good old crack.
I'd recommend it if it wasn't absolutely freezing. Oh.
I seen the video of it and you looked absolutely white as a ghost.
And we had makeup on. The higher we went on that Ferris wheel, lads, I swear to God, the more things shrunk. I'll put it that way.
I thought you meant the buildings and all below.
I was questioning my gender when I got back down to the ground. Also this week, the two Johnnies were in Edinburgh for St. Patrick's Day. I don't know how I can describe it. It's like...
Wait. Okay, for the benefit of the two Johnnies listeners, I am looking at the two Johnnies right now. They look shook.
I know. Come on.
Thank God you can't visually see this podcast, lads. Yeah, I've aged at least 12, 13 years in the 3 days we're in Edinburgh.
Maura, we are ultimate professionals. Come on now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And if anybody's seen my Snapchats or Insta stories from St. Patrick's Day, I can only apologise. I got up at 9 o'clock. Me and Johnny were pulling the first pint to celebrate Patrick's Day. And we thought we'd just pull the pint and go back to bed. But unfortunately, we pulled a pint, drank the consequent pint, and at least 20 creamy pints after that. So it was Patrick's Day, as never seen before. I can only describe it as adult rag week.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what it is. There's lads queuing from 8 o'clock in the morning.
How did you end up with a hockey stick?
There was some girl was there and she went over to the barman. Was like, can I leave my hockey stick here? And he was like, why have you got a hockey stick? And then she's like, I was training this morning. And so she left the hockey stick there. And it's for some reason I was just going around with it. Like, just, fuck, I don't know. Like,
so basically, we were in Edinburgh because we had a show on the Friday night in the Three Sisters. And that was amazing crack.
Some crack, yeah. It was some buzz. Now, to be fair, we didn't fly without wings. Obviously, our show is normally a comedy show. Mm. But I mean, out in Edinburgh, when everybody's absolutely lamped, there's no way you're going to be going up doing a comedy set. So we went up and just banged out some of our tunes and a couple of covers and done Flame Without Wings. It was a career highlight for me. They had a proper like barriers, you know, proper gig stuff, like, and I climbed the barriers and like sang the song. Then it was some buzz.
He had his arms outstretched in the Jesus Christ pose and he was just,
you found that special thing, you're flying without wings.
It was brilliant because we had to play it because of course Boys Life were on after us, which is Brian McFadden from Westlife and Keith Duffy, buddy, from Boys On.
Yeah, to be fair to the lads, are class acts.
Yeah, can I just say, backstage we're in the green room with the two of them. And Johnny Smacks absolutely fangirled the life out of Brian McFadden.
Nah, I'm not having that, man. I'm
not having that one bit. Do me a favour.
He was fangirling me. Nah, they were class. And Keith was incredibly good crack. And we have a video on our phone of him saying hello to our mammies and all for us. So, yeah. Give you a listen sometime. We might slap it in the end of one of the podcasts or something. Visually, you don't want to see it.
No, good
we're
guys.
We're not the freshest, innit?
Good guys, great fun. They stayed on and had the crack with us afterwards and great weekend.
Yeah.
And we got to see all of Edinburgh. Edinburgh Castle is beautiful and all that. We did a bit of touristy stuff.
I thought Boston was cold, lads. Fucking Edinburgh. And, like, Limerick was cold in that Ferris wheel, but I tell you, up the top of that castle.
Mm.
And I'm not one for the tourist thing. Anyone who's seen my Insta, I had up doing tourist shit. I just don't. It's not for me.
I pull him around. I drag him around.
Oh, you've no idea. Like, after St. Patrick's Day and the day we had... He dragged me up at least 50 flights of stairs.
We got to see the Scottish crown jewels, right? And I swear to God, we were in the room about 4 seconds and Smacks is like, is that it? it's crown like, a sword. Is that it like? And he wanted to go again.
Honestly, yeah, I couldn't believe it. But let's go and see Edinburgh Castle.
Yeah, lovely, lovely.
If you've nothing fucking but else I'll tell you to be
doing. £17.
70, yeah.
£17 to get in the gap. £17.
Now, Johnny loves doing the tourist thing, but I tell you, when he seen the fucking price tag, he wasn't too keen then, let me tell you that. But what's coming for the week ahead, Johnny? Wednesday and Thursday.
We're back in the big smoke, lad. Back in Dublin, the RDS. There's a couple of big youth conferences going on.
Yeah, the AIB Sparks Festival.
And all that. We're going to be doing a bit of a... We're on a few panels there, talking... We're going to be giving advice to young people. But if I was a young person, I wouldn't listen to any of our advice.
How to make a career from content is actually what we're doing.
I've no idea. If anyone wants to snap us in now, tell us how to do it.
Snap us your advice if anybody successful is listening. Nah, we're joking. Of course, we're making a career from content. We're going all right, aren't we? We'll share our knowledge with young people. But I don't think you can not do the Leaving Cert and start a YouTube channel, lads. That's not how it works. I've seen some of them YouTube channels. They're dirt.
Dirt.
Okay, so topic number one. What is Ireland's national sport now? Ireland beat England on Saturday to claim the Grand Slam, lads, for only the third time. Does that now mean rugby is our national sport, Johnny B?
No.
Now, straight off the bat.
Yeah, this came up. Maury, you were telling us, we saw in the discussion on RT's show Against the Head a while ago, and they were asked, the panel were asked, is rugby Ireland's sport now?
Yeah. Basically, is the Irish rugby team the new Jack's Army? And what? It got a lot of reaction. A lot of people were like saying, no, the GAA is bigger. And the GAA might be bigger, maybe numbers wise, but in terms of getting the country to sit down and watch sport together, is rugby now it?
I'm not having that. I remember in 2002 when Ireland got to the World Cup, I got a day off for when Ireland played Saudi Arabia. Now, if Ireland were playing rugby in a World Cup, there's no way I would have got a day off back then, or even now if I was still back in school. I don't think there's the same connection. And people can argue the point, half of that 2002 squad were probably English.
Yeah.
Which is a fair point. But I mean, I think it's the underdog tag with the soccer, which makes it very popular in that most of the time we know we're not going to fucking win. Whereas with the rugby, we're kind of favourites. We are that little bit stronger. I don't think it has.
That's
I don't
number
think it
two
captures.
In the world currently.
Yeah, but that's only very recent. Like, sure, we went 80 years without winning a Grand Slam.
Yeah.
But I don't think the rugby captures the imagination of the country as much as the soccer. And for me anyway, the GAA is a much bigger organisation, but it's probably more regional.
Yeah, just on capturing the nation, definitely a lot more GAA, a lot more people involved. But when do you get a day off work? If Ireland beat Spain in a World Cup quarterfinal in soccer of a Sunday evening, like, everybody, you can miss work on the Monday.
Yeah.
If Tip win in All-Ireland, like, no problem in Tip, you can miss work on the Monday. But I think for that to be rugby, like, Ireland would have to win the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
Before you could be ringing up the boss saying, not coming to work.
Yeah, we got figures here. So there's 221 rugby clubs in Ireland.
Mara disputes that, says there's only 209.
Well, we'll say we'll meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
200 odd.
Yeah.
We done loads of our team of researchers Google this for us. There's 153,000 registered rugby players. That's between juvenile and adults. There's 25,000 adult men registered for rugby in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And in the GAA, you have 1,500 juvenile GAA clubs, 334,000 GAA players registered. So that kind of puts that to bed as regards participation levels. But I mean,
see, the thing is, right, where I think rugby is definitely going to overtake soccer in terms of being the national sport. In terms of being rugby kind of being the sport that's the national soul, I don't think so. I think the GAA will always be that. It'll always be, like, because there's a GAA club in every parish. There's a GAA pitch in every parish. There's not the same rugby club. But, like, I remember being over, I was over in New Zealand for the 2011 Rugby World Cup. For some reason, I was working for News Talk at the time and they decided that it'd be a good idea to send me over there, and I didn't know anything about rugby. But I remember talking to all the young people over there about how amazing it was when Ireland beat Australia in rugby in New Zealand. And it was like 2011. It was just after kind of all the shit that people went through with the recession. And it was like all these young people that had to emigrate. It was like the first time that they had something major in like 2-3 years to celebrate. Like, so from that point of view, I kind of think that rugby is amazing. But at the same time, that experience, it wouldn't be the same as your local club or your county winning an All-Ireland, I don't think.
Well, just on the World Cups and the big events, like, look at the footage from when Ireland are in Poznan and at the Euros and all.
Yeah.
But I would say, how many lads in Poznan are soccer fans? And how many lads, like, will I go to the Euros or will I go to a leisure picnic? It's a toss-up, like. Ireland are great, in fairness to us, we're great bandwagoners.
Yeah.
Oh, we're the best.
We're the best bandwagoners. Yeah. So, these big events, tournaments like that, they're piss-ups, like.
Yeah. I remember my dad saying that back was the 1991 World Cup, that like a lot of people who drunk in our pub at home, like there were lads trying to sell their washing machines to get out to Italy, like, you know?
Italian 90 lads.
Yeah. 1991.
On that, I bought an Ireland jersey from the 94 World Cup at the bar in the Three Sisters the other day for £100. Some fella was wearing it. Like, that's class, though. I'm absolutely... Yeah. But great purchase, now, to be fair. But on that, the name Toto Scarlatti. Like, we weren't even born, but, like, we know that name because, obviously, he scored the winner against Ireland. And I think, like, everybody knows who he is.
Mm.
But I bet you no one can remember, like, the French lad who scored a try against us, knocked us out of the Rugby World Cup. Like,
geez, no.
Nah, there you go. Yeah. Like, I just think the soccer just has that. It's a little bit more, I think.
For the neutral, like, because rugby is more dangerous now. Like, you know, I don't think my mad watch a rugby game.
No. I, like, that's the thing. Like, I suppose, like, right, where I'm from in Mead, right, I was saying this to you, that a lot of parents seem now to be sending, I'm from North Meath, and a lot of parents are choosing to send their children to rugby rather than to GAA, and it's having an impact on the clubs. And I don't like that, to be honest, because, like, I just think, get them involved in both sports at least, like, you know, up until under 12s, like. But, like, what point was I going to make there? Lost, yeah, damn it. Yeah.
Facilities wise, like.
Yeah.
Facilities wise, I think, like, there is a bit more Moulin Rouge, a bit more cash in the rugby game. So, like, from the facilities I've been to, the rugby have better. They've got clubhouses, bars, like RGA club. We're lucky to have fucking running water, like.
Yeah. See, the point I was going to make there was, I remember that, is, like, if I had children, would they send them to GAA or would I send them to rugby? And I kind of feel that, like, you know, like, you risk an awful lot of head injury in rugby a lot more than you do in GAA and hurling. And, like, I've had a lot of head injuries from over the years from doing stupid stuff on horses and that, like, you know. And I just wouldn't like to be putting my child in any sport like that unless they had a helmet on. So I'd be reluctant to send my child to rugby. That's all I'm going to say.
There's no way you'd be able to put an old micro helmet on a young lad playing rugby anyway. I don't think it'll work. But, you see, the thing about rugby is there's probably a greater chance of getting to the professional game. I mean, you know, you get to the pinnacle of the GAA, but, I mean, you're not really getting paid unless...
Yeah, but I would say percentage-wise, if you have, like, 100,000 people playing soccer in Ireland, like, one of them is going to go on and play for Southampton. Whereas if you have 10,000 people playing rugby, you know,
yeah, they're probably going 500
of them will probably play for the provinces.
Yeah.
See, but I don't think kids are thinking about that. Like, do you think a 10-year-old kid is thinking about professionalism when he's going playing rugby or soccer?
Probably not, but his parents probably are.
I go away.
Yeah. If I had a young lad and he was good at all sports, like, and they said, right, you're going to have to pick now. He's like, he's 16, right?
Ah, well, that's different.
He's good at soccer. He's good at, like, hurling. He's good at rugby. I'd be saying, stay at the rugby, lad. You get a few pounds. Pay my mortgage. Do you know what I mean? So, on a serious note. But look, I think this is a good example of the nation as a whole. RT had to show Ireland's greatest sporting moments. So the top four was, at number four was Ray Houghton scoring against England, Euro 88. Number three was Munster beating the All Blacks, which, like, that was a class win and all that. And, like, I was disputing this, Johnny, with you the other day. Like, that was a touring team. That was a friendly game. It was a fucking friendly, lads.
You know, like, Munster lads won't like you for this.
I'll get the head kicked off me in Limerick the next time. But, like, do you know what I mean? It was a long time ago. It was a touring team.
It was a fair underdog story, like.
Yeah.
fairy tale stuff, like.
Padraig Harrington winning the 2007 Open is the second Irish great sporting moment. For fuck's sake, lads. Who was voting on this? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. Does anyone care about golf really?
we've had world champion boxers.
Olympics.
I think that would. I think that captured the imagination more.
You know, and everybody fights.
Everybody. Yeah, Irish people love a scrap.
Yeah,
we love a fucking scrap. Just go outside any Supermax on any Saturday night. You'll see a few scraps.
Also, that's an individual thing. Like, I didn't think that any individual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
McGregor was top of his field. I'm not going to get into him again. Like, people winning Olympic medals. Look at all Sonia O'Sullivan's won, like, and all.
Yeah. The number one moment, Italia 90, penalty shootout, Paddy Bonner save, got 35% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
So, is soccer the national sport?
I don't think soccer is the national sport anymore. I just think that there's not enough of the current Irish soccer team that are going to be... They're over in England playing Premiership football. They're not here, whereas the Irish rugby players are, for the majority, here playing with Leinster, Munster, Connacht, whatever, Ulster.
Well, I would say, like, probably none of Jack's army actually played League of Ireland football. They were all in England. The difference is they were big stars. They were playing, like, you know, Villa,
teams,
were,
yeah.
Villa were a top team. A couple of lads playing for Liverpool. Like Roy Keane, you could watch him playing Champions League of a Thursday night. It's not the same as, like, you know, we're looking at Shane Long, but, like, he came on for Southampton in the Cup. Like, he's, you know, he's not Messi, like, yeah. as much as we love him, like.
Yeah. Mm. Ireland, and we love him.
We love Shane Long. But you don't have the big stars, and I think kids nowadays are more likely to wear a Ronaldo jersey than a jersey with the name of an Irish player on the back.
Yeah, but see, I keep thinking about Jacob Stocktail and him getting 7 tries. Is it 7 tries in the Six Nations or 8 tries? Whatever, it's a huge amount of tries. And I just think that'll have a massive impact on children, seeing particularly his last try in the Grand Slam game. Like, it was just this thing of beauty, completely, just absolutely pushing to get there and just get it and land the ball. And I just thought, wow, that was amazing. And that was
swoon.
So,
No, you're
talking about him and you're fucking drooling here.
That's if you could see
not, no, no,
can
sorry.
We get a cleaner in here?
He's not a good looking lad. He's been kidding him.
Jacob, if you're listening, sorry.
Sorry about that,
I'm
Jacob.
Impressed with your rugby playing skills. You wouldn't be my type looks wise, but you're an attractive man, but just I'm into something different.
Yeah.
And he's so quite, he's about a decade younger than me as well, so.
So stick at the rugby, Jacob. Don't be heading into fucking Love Island now or that anytime soon. But are we in agreement that the GAA is our national sport? Of course it is. It's Irish.
I would fight anybody who disagreed
with that. Yes, yes. And so would I. And Johnny, triple threat.
Just before I go on this, Ireland play Moldova in a genuine World Cup qualifier in the Aviva. There'll be more people at Tip Cork in the first round of the Munster Championship. Mm-hmm. Or as many.
Yeah.
There we go. So we're in agreement. GAA is the national sport. As regards what's most loved at present, it's a three-way fight. People, get in touch with us. Get in touch on Snapchat, Instagram. You can Facebook message us.
We probably won't read them, but you can Instagram us.
You definitely Instagram us and Snapchat. We will read them. Facebook. So,
That's it. GAA has the most number of people playing, has the most number of clubs, has the biggest community reach. If you want something done, if you want money raised or you need stewards for an event ran, you go to your GAA club. You can't transfer clubs like you can in soccer. And I think, in my experience, it's definitely diluted the support of local soccer clubs. The fact that if you go to watch, take St. Michael's, who are from Tipperary, doing really well. Mm. One guy on that team is from Tip Town. So when they come around to you fundraising, when they come around, you know, are you going to support them as much as a team of where you know everyone on the team? Mm. I think it's definitely diluted the support a little bit, not taken away from their incredible achievements as a club.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion. I think that it's the it runs thicker with the guy, and I think
if you need stewards for a funeral, lad, get on to your GAA club. By them boys will do it.
They'll do it.
They'll try on the high vis and they'll do it. Get in touch with us, lads, on the social media. And I tell you, we'll duke this out for the week. And we'll have an answer then in next week's podcast. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, lads. Push the subscribe button. You'll get a little notification in when the podcast is up. Okay, it's time, lads. He's come to Dublin. He's not too fucking happy about having to come to Dublin, lads. He hates it. He says it's too expensive. And he wouldn't pay the toll. He drove in through every nook and cranny in Dublin to avoid the toll. But he's pulled up outside. Somehow he's got to Massey Ferguson into RTE car park. But he's here. Everybody's favourite hurling fundamentalist. Animal lover. He's here in his leather jacket. It's Noel Furlong. It's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's. Well, young fella.
Well, Noel, it's good to have you back. It's good to have you in Dublin.
Absolute kip.
You're not too happy about being dragged up here, Noel. I'm sorry. Like we'll make it up to your expenses.
I normally go straight to Jones's Road.
That's all.
That's all I know.
That's all you come here for.
That's it. So I bring me own sandwiches. I bring me own tea. I don't get ripped off by these city slickers.
Oh, Noel. Dirt. You're happy enough. You're starting to like the intro music now.
I'm not. I'm after putting a call in to Jimmy Buckley's manager. See, would Jimmy do me a jive?
This is Jimmy Buckley free zone, Noel.
Jive, whatever that. I'm not listening to that crap anymore.
Right, go on. Knock us out of park there, will ya?
Let's see your smart Alec chat now, young fella. Right. First destination, Russia.
Oh, jeez.
Putin. Another prick. Vladimir Putin, right? He wins the election for the fourth time. No surprise there. Right? What did he get? He got 76% of the vote. 24% of voters mysteriously disappeared the next morning. He'd been elected for another 6 years. And one of his main opponents, a lovely girl went by the name of Knyazhnaya Sobchak.
She definitely works in the baking factory. Do you get
No, she was a reality TV star.
Oh.
And a lovely looking girl. And she got 2% of the vote. And those 2% of people now are buried in shallow graves in some part of the fucking icy Russia. Okay, so Putin had a big push on to get people to vote. He was in Kazan. I don't know where, like...
Kazakhstan.
No, that's a different country, you fool. There's a region of Russia called Kazan, right? You wouldn't know it, you've no culture. He was giving away food to people who'd come in and vote. Trying to get lads to vote, right? And there was another place where you could win a smartphone or a bike if you'd come in and vote. That's a fact.
A bike?
You could win a bike.
It's like the Den.
Yeah. Do you remember the time Chalk Ice Meehan won a bike?
Yeah.
He won a bike on the Den, and his twin brother was giving out so much they had to buy him a bike as well. That's a fact. Right, so he's in power for another 6 years, but people aren't happy. They're talking about irregularities in the voting. He was going around rounding lads up to vote. That's a fact now. He's busting lads in from the countryside. And he's all for democracy, but if you don't vote, he might burn your house down.
He's that kind of man.
He's that kind of man. So congratulations to Vladimir Putin on democracy is alive and well. You know, Russia would be known for their fun, cheer, sunny beaches and democracy.
Fuck. I don't fucking know about that.
So that's Russia. Now, my second story. The boys were over in Edinburgh and I'm just reading a copy of the Scotsman newspaper here in front of me.
We brought it back for you.
Cover to cover, shite. Now, last year, did you ever see these drones now? Mm. Boys going on, the little remote, like a dinky car that can fly with a camera on it. Right, lads flying these around. There was 92 near misses last year in England of drones hopping off the side of airplanes trying to land.
Jesus.
Any fella flying a drone around an airport, it want to get a good fucking hiding out of that. That is like cycling on a motorway. Now, they said the plane could crash. Pilot said here, one pilot said it was very worrying. Fucking right, it's very worrying. 500 lads on a plane. One fool with a yoke he got in a Kinder Egg hopping off the side of your plane. So, 92 incidences. And do you know what I mean? This is crazy stuff, like. Crazy. You can buy a drone for £30.
Jeez.
Wouldn't you be sort of go have a few pints? And no one die. So now I'm telling you, if I catch anyone in Ireland flying drones on the airport, I'll buck the fucking jaw off me. That's a fact. That's a fact. No. I'm going to get into airport security now.
It's next Renault, so.
Yeah, now, local story.
Oh, God.
You know, we had the parade at the weekend, lads. The big news in the town is Pockets Dwyer knocked out Chunky Hassett. Now, they're inside in Lonergan's bar at the weekend. Now, you know Chunky Hassett as well as I do, right? Chunky, God love him, he's a wicked man for the deli. Himself and his brother. Do you know his brother?
No.
Jumbo. So Chunky and Jumbo used to be going into Spar. Wicked men for the deli. Now, there's a girl working inside in the Jumbo, inside in the deli in Spar. And her name is Valerie Shed. Now, Valerie used to be giving Chunky extra goujons, right? She'd be throwing him out, slipping him the few goujons. Sure, Chunky had no life, right? You know what I mean? Every time she'd give him an extra sausage, he's getting all chubby one down below. So, now, but nothing going on. He hasn't mounted her yet, her auntie, like. So, Pockets was giving him a right slagging inside in the pub now. And Pocket's a bit of a mouth on him. Do you know Pocket's? Do you know his brother?
Oh, no. Who?
Trousers. So Pocket's and Trousers, two big men now, and not to be bet with Chunky and Jumbo. A fight broke out between the boys anyway. And four large men were tumbling around Lanigan's bar. And who did they bump into in the bar? Only the local ICA. They were in the parade and they'd been celebrating. They got best float in the parade. Now, I know this because my own mother, they were doing women through the ages. So my own mother was Rosie Hackett. Ginny Casey was Countess Markovitch. And Teresa Halley was, of course, Serena Williams. So, the ICA were eating, and they had a few tish going, and fucking Chunky got a belt, and then he landed down on top of the table of sandwiches. And Catherine Brennan was halfway through a flan. He made shit of it. Well, I tell you, Countess Markovitch had an umbrella, and she bet Pocket Stoyer up and down Lonergan's bar. Bet him with that umbrella. Serena Williams had a tennis racket that she fucking lettered him. She fucking wore that tennis racket off him. Now, them two boys wouldn't be liked. Pockets and Trousers, they wouldn't be liked down the town, I'll tell you. See, Pockets, a wicked big ego, that man. He was over in England for a couple of years. He got trials as a soccer player and all, when he was a young fella. And he said he got trials from Man United, and he said he scored a hat-trick off Gary Neville. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. Now, he never made it because he was too fond of the drink. But he's always telling us that he's been hanging around with Gary Neville and Phil Neville. He knew all these boys. Shy talk. Typical Pockets talk now. But I wouldn't be a big fan of Gary Neville or Phil Neville anyway. Some people mightn't know. But Gary Neville's father started the famine. Oh. So that's a fact now. People wouldn't know that.
Thank you, Lord.
Right, so them boys, they wouldn't be liked down the town. And I'm just putting out the warning to you now. I'm warning you now, Pockets and Trousers, if you're listening. Calm it down. Because I'll tell you, Margaret Lonergan, who runs Lonergan's bar, she have a neck on her like a bull. And I swear to God, she have a fist like a kick of a mule. If that woman sees them boys, she's going to fucking bait them. So they've been warned now on the airwaves. Calm it down.
And if they don't, Gary Neville's father will get.
Yeah. So look, there's trouble on the town. People aren't happy because Chunky and Jumbo will be well liked. Okay. So I'm just warning you all now, okay? And that's the end of my news for this week.
Thank you very much, Noel. Once again, you've done it. More fucking insanity. Thanks for coming to Dublin as well, Noel. See yourself out there.
Yeah, fuck off.
It's that time of the week where Maura puts us under pressure, as Jack Charlton used to say, put them under pressure. We're looking for Maura's mystery topic. Obviously, lads, for anybody who's not listened to the podcast before, should be fucking ashamed of yourselves, first of all. But this is Maura gives us a mystery topic. Me and Johnny debated, and we've no idea what it's going to be. We don't know what's going to come over our mouth. We're always shitting our pants, but here we go, Maura. Serve it up.
I wonder what that smell was.
Lay it on us, Maura. Lay it on us.
Right, lads. My new Netflix obsession is a programme called Queer Eye. It used to be Queer Eye.
He lives next door to me.
It's a brilliant programme. It's a reboot of a Bravo series called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. But the new series features a new Fab Five. So there's five guys: Bobby, who is a design expert; Anthony, who is a food expert; Jonathan is a grooming expert, he's into the hair and all the makeup and stuff; and then there's Caramo, who is a culture expert; and Tan, a fashion expert.
Go back. Caramo.
Caramo Brown, he is a culture expert. Caramo.
He sounds like a chocolate bar. Can I get two caramels?
But anyway, it's a brilliant show. So basically what happens is these five guys, and they come in and make over a lad's life. So that, you know, fix up his house, fix him up, get him out culturally doing things, they fix his hair and, like, you know, get him putting on a few grooming products, a bit of hair gel. Then, you know, they do just tidy them up, make them kind of like, help them live a better life, because they're guys that kind of neglect themselves and that. So I'm wondering, if we were to make a programme called The Johnny Eye, What would you two, first off, is there anything that you'd change about each other? Because you were telling me that you were actually, Smacks, you were actually convinced Johnny B to cut his hair. And I'm wondering, what would you change about each other? And then what would you change about Irish men in general? Where do you think Irish men go wrong in terms of grooming or, you know, getting out, seeing stuff culturally or keeping their house in order?
Well, Johnny Smacks has got about a half hour on grooming to give you, I'd say.
Male grooming with Johnny Smacks. What would I change at and firstly about Johnny B? His timekeeping is fucking atrocious.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not visually. He's all right. Do you know what? Sorry. I don't want to nail him now. But he ties his shoes way too fucking tight. Maura, look at that. Look, they're buried him.
They're boots, lad. They're cool.
Yeah, no, but the boots aren't too bad now, but like, he'd often have the runners and he'd have them tied up to the last, like.
Yeah, but I think it's a good thing to tie your shoes really tight because that way you don't get blisters on your feet if you do a lot of walking. That's how you get blisters if your foot moves around. No, I'd be a tight.
See, Maura's from the country. She knows these things.
Yeah, I'd be going loose shoes looking cool. But
then you'd lose your shoe.
You want to be fair langers. But no, that's about all. No, I'm not going to nitpick at Johnny. He's all right. He's fairly all right. He's tidied himself up since the Kurt Cobain phase.
just to defend myself on the boots there. These boots now are a bit of a landmark moment for us because myself and Johnny have sponsored clothes from a fantastic chain down in Tipperary. And when we got these boots, right, your man said to me, they're flaking boots now. Right?
What's flaking boots?
Good boots.
They're
flaking boots.
It's a flaking shoe.
And they're handmade in Italy, he said to me. And I met the parents the next day then, and the mother said, where did you get the fancy boots? And I said, ma'am, some fella in Italy made them by hand and now I'm just wearing them around the town. That's when I knew we were starting to do well.
So is Ratton you change about me?
Where to start?
Botox. A couple of fillers in the forehead. No,
it is less work you need on yourself.
Yeah. Why, you think I need to be more rugged?
Yeah.
Nah, fuck that, man. You know what I mean?
If we're going out, like, how long do you spend getting ready?
Ah, no, seriously, it'd probably take me 40 minutes, like, shower and that, like.
Makeup and...
I don't wear makeup. Just tan. No, I'm joking, I don't wear tan either. It's tinted moisturizer. I'm joking. I think Irish men should fucking enjoy looking after themselves. And they should, you know what I mean? If you don't love yourself, no one else will love you, lads. Mm. Let me tell you that. And now I'm not an advocate for, like, fellas who, after a bar of chocolate, they'd hate themselves.
Yeah.
But you want to be looking after yourself. Like, do you know what I mean? How are you going to get a woman or a man or whatever? Like, you know, how are you going to get a partner if you look like a piece of shit?
Yeah, so we've started on looks and Irishmen are grand, like, I think.
Good looking Gene pool there, I'd say.
Do you
that.
Think Irish Irishmen don't know what floss is? I'm just saying that.
Teeth floss?
Yeah, they don't floss their teeth. I have been in so many situations where you meet a good looking guy and you're like, oh yeah, really nice, and then you go to kiss them and you're like, oh my god, I'm gonna be sick.
Yeah, rank.
Like, lads, floss please, just for the sake of Irish women.
Right, so Stockdale, if you're listening,
start flossing, Jacob, boy. If she goes to lob the head in you, you better have flossed or you're fucked.
So, first thing about Irishmen, I would say, is hair. Myself and Johnny our buddy Keelan is a barber and he looks after us really well down in Care. So, I think Irishmen get such boring haircuts. We've already had the Bradley Cooper talk.
Yeah.
It gives you a bit of character if you get a good haircut. And lads just go in and go, oh, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, tidy me up there, lad. Be grand.
I think Irishmen find it cool to not give a fuck, like.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
All the farmers, lads. Anyway.
Oh, just, I don't know, lads, I haven't got my hair cut in 6 months, like. I say, yeah, it's growing into your fucking back, lad. Your back hair has joined up with the cat hairs on the back of a fella's neck. If a fella has cat hairs on the back of his neck, he may try his head, lads. Do you know what I mean? Down with the cat hairs now. That's a hashtag, down with the cat hairs, lads. You know what I mean? Like, Johnny, I'm not going to don't name, but there's a fella we know, like, has cat hairs, like, and they're just growing into his beard and everything. He's like a fucking...
Oh, you want a trimmer for him?
Is this like where the chest hair grows up?
Yeah, it grows up into the beard and then, or down the back then, and you're like, oh, jeez.
He needs a couple of false lads working on him.
Definitely. He's like Wolverine.
Yeah. So hair is a big one. Get a decent haircut and take a bit of a chance with your hair. Like, you don't always have to get such boring haircuts, lads. Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Smacks gets the bald fade. I got the flick. We got our own thing going on.
Yeah. Well, the programme also, it doesn't just focus on looks or everything.
Lifestyle.
Myself and Johnny are very shallow. We just come to talk about looks.
Yeah, but there's also like, Anthony's all into getting lads to be more adventurous with food and cook food for themselves. And then another guy is like, look, change your feckin' bed sheets. Like, have a proper nice bed. Like, you know, because there's no way, like, you're going to take a woman's going to come back. Like, if you brought a woman back to the house and like,
hang on. So you're saying to me, like, you meet a guy and it's all going well, and you're back to his house and you're in his bedroom, and then you're going to be like, I'm not having sex with you on those sheets.
Yeah.
Get on the floor.
No, it wouldn't happen. You'd be just like, oh, it's really nice. Listen, I'm going to head on. Good luck, you know.
Jesus, the poor bastard. But no, well, we heard about my sheets last week anyway from different Tottenham College. So no, but lifestyle is a big thing. Like, you asked Johnny, would he change that about me? Like, it's a fucking psychologist he'd need. Like, you know, on the outside I look fine, on the inside I'm a troubled soul. You know what I mean? So no, fellas, lifestyles, I think.
Yeah, just lads can do with keeping fit, like. Whatever you want to do, whether you're into running or cycling or going to the gym or whatever, you should be doing something. It's good for your head, like, and it's, you know what I mean, if you're filling out the t-shirt a bit better, all the better, like, you know what I mean. Come on, more, don't tell me no.
Bigger arms, skinnier bitches, but yeah. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, you know, well, I mean? Like, I do like muscles, but then I don't like that look that, you know, the lads who try to get down to like 0% body fat and like you can see all the veins. Like, I like muscles, but I also like a little bit of body fat, like muscles and lads who like spuds. That's
you want a fella who'll be able to sit down a Saturday night and eat a pizza with you and watch a bit of telly. You know what I mean? These lads ate now lunchboxes. Fuck that, lads. And girls as well. Taking a picture of a lunchbox, putting it on Instagram. Couldn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? I don't care. Like,
I'm just putting that out there. That is a genuine thing for Johnny Smacks. If a girl says, she posts a picture of a lunchbox on Instagram, that's probably the two of us, that she's gone.
Yeah.
She's out, like.
Yeah, but she's probably, do you know what though? I do have a theory that people who post stuff, pictures of food on social media, and maybe I do it sometimes, but I post pictures of food that I'm really proud of creating, and I'm like, that's like, I make a lovely Tuscan plum tart, so that's going to go on my Instagram.
Don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's the best dessert you'll ever have. They need to post pictures to remind themselves that they're vets. So, like, you know, an hour and a half later when they get hungry, they're like, they flick onto social media. Do you know what? I ate that an hour and a half ago and I'm grand. So, yeah, no, it's grand.
Food diary
yes,
on Instagram,
exactly,
basically.
Yeah,
you see, now I'm not an advocate for the fit Irish male. I'm just happy, like, I'm grand, like, you know what I mean? I'm not ripped. I'm not morbidly obese. I'm somewhere, the dad bod.
The dad bod.
Rock the dad bod, and I'm quite happy with that. It's going all right for me.
So other aspects of lads' life, yeah, we talked about drink. I think lads need to do things that don't involve drink too. Because so much of socialising is around drink. We were talking to our mates about this.
We're going to get on to this, yeah.
Who are talking about, like, what to do. And they're saying, maybe we should give up drinking. Maybe we should all meet up on a Saturday night and go eating.
Go eating.
For a meal, yeah. Well, the last thing that we didn't talk about, Irish lads and fashion sense. Did we discuss that?
No.
Go on, Johnny. Give them both barrels.
You see, it depends what you're going for, right? If you're into the country dancing now, you know, the country music scene and stuff, you're going to be wearing brown boots, the bootleg jeans, and probably a check shirt or a blue and white vertically striped one. Pair of Levi's and a belt buckle. But like, there's nothing like, I don't know. Irishmen don't dress that bad. Like it depends in what circles you be moving in. Like, so, like, all my friends all dress nice, like 80%.
Because he wouldn't hang around with somebody who didn't.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I think nowadays men really do. They're more into their fashion. Like, you look at the amount of menswear shops that are around and stuff like that.
I do think Irishmen are definitely getting better addressing, but I do think there is still a large majority who don't take risks, as you say, with the hair. They don't try colour. They just wear like the brown slacks and the, you know, boring shirt. And it's like, show a bit of your personality.
I find dressing wise, like, I'll dress the way I want to dress, like, and I'll go a bit over the top at times, like, but like, I like that. I express myself now in the way I dress, and like, the jeans at times they're skinny, lads. They're fair fucking skinny, like, they're. Like, we went out to America and one of the lads said, like, it's just as Jerry Adams has stepped down. He said, Jerry Adams has one more job before he leaves. Like, he's going to blow you out of them jeans. So, like, they were that tight. But, hey, you know what I mean? It's expressing myself.
Yeah, I'd say, lads, take a risk. And like, what's going to happen? One of your mates going to slag you for a minute and then it's all over. Like,
yeah, the women will be after you then. He won't be slagging you anymore. So, you know.
That's it.
Yeah.
So there you are, lads.
Yeah.
Get a good haircut. Style it up. Don't worry about what anyone thinks about you. And if you're still wearing Levi's 501, you probably need to go and see your local fucking menswear shop.
Or else you're in a country band.
Or else you love Wagon Wheel.
I'll go pitch the Johnny I to RT now while we're here. So.
Lovely. We're going straight in. Two Johnnies going to take over. Class. Somebody's going to be some crack.
I love that.
Dating tips with the two Johnnies. Is that all right for you, Maura?
Perfect.
Yeah, love it. Topic three. Right. Closing the pubs on Good Friday, lads. Been all over the media. National, local. Everybody's talking about it. I mean, we're going to also be touching on Ireland's relationship with alcohol. But first of all, closing the pubs on Good Friday. Good idea, bad idea?
Maura, this came up because you're uniquely positioned to comment on this initially.
I am uniquely positioned in this because I'm from Drumconrit in Meath, which hit the headlines over the past week because...
For the first time in the village's history, I
it is,
add.
Yeah, the first time. Drumconrit, now people know. It's like, oh, it's that village, yeah, where the pubs aren't opening on Good Friday. It's like, yes, yes. My mother is one of the publicans that is not going to open on Good Friday. And to be honest, I love the fact that Drumconrit's pubs aren't opening on Good Friday. Like, not for any religious reasons or anything like that. I just think it's a cultural thing. I like that Ireland closes the pubs on Good Friday. And, like, for us growing up, it was always a family day out as well because there's four children in the family and the pub only closes 2 days a year. So, like everybody off be going off to do the stations across, we'd get brought to Neary to get, like, clothes and toys. And
launder diesel.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not, and I just don't like that the pubs are around the country are going to be opening up on Good Friday. But then I do like alcohol, so you know.
Mm. But just on the religious thing, I don't think that religion should be dictating the law in any sense in any country. So I think it should be totally up to the pub's discretion.
Yeah.
If they want to close, and if publicans want to close, but sure, they can close any day. Like, you could have closed that pub of a quiet Monday in January if you wanted, like.
Yeah.
Well, you probably have an obligation to the people who drink there, like.
Yeah, like the thing is, like the local parish priest, can I just say, is delighted that pubs are closing on Good Friday. Makes him look good to the bishop, Father Cotton.
Yeah.
yeah, I like, you know, I, but it's, to me, the cultural thing, I think it just makes us a little bit different from the rest of Europe that we, like, not to say, like, I take your point, like, religion shouldn't influence on laws and that. But then there's, aside from religion, there's things that blend in from religion into culture.
Yeah.
The general culture. And I think that's what kind of the pubs closing on Good Friday is, you know, about.
Is it up there with not eating meat, like?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was a butcher. And, like, it's amazing. I would say people don't actually, like, they still observe that. Like, people eat fish now on Good Friday, like.
Yeah, the RTE canteen on a Wednesday and Friday will serve fish.
Only fish, it won't serve meat.
Oh no, it'll serve meat as well, but there will be a fish option.
Yeah, but
there wouldn't be a fish option on a Monday, Tuesday or Thursday. Like.
Yeah, so they'll serve it for those days, and then anybody who buys meat, you all just say, look at that fucking Leo from Fair City biting into a big burger.
Is Pat Kenny eating meat? He's gone.
Not
He's
here gone. Anymore.
No, no. I'm not up speed.
So like... If they're opening the pubs on Good Friday.
Yeah, are you going to be in the pubs on Good Friday?
No, we're not. We're gigging in Cavan. But no, we won't be in the pubs. Like, Jesus, it's one day. But still, I agree with the fact Johnny said, like, it should be at the publican's discretion. But by opening on Good Friday, does that mean they're going to open on Christmas Day as well? What's the difference?
No, pubs still have to stay closed on Christmas
Day. Why though?
But isn't Christmas a religious holiday?
Because of religion as well.
Yeah.
That's kind of like... That's not really, I mean, Good Friday.
That could change now as well.
Yeah,
like,
see, that's what I'm saying. Like,
this is probably opening the door.
Yeah.
That somebody's going to challenge.
Whereas I would definitely rather see pubs close on Christmas Day. Because, like, it's a fucking family day, lads. If you can't stay out of a pub for one day, like, you want to be seeing someone, like, to be honest with you. I think, personally. But Good Friday, open it, close it. Couldn't give a fuck. Come to Cavan anyway, it's our gig. But, like... The Irish attitude to drink, lads, that's probably more telling.
The thing is as well, like, the reason that the pubs are open is people want to have a few drinks on Good Friday. And does that mean that we're kind of have some sort of dependency on alcohol or liquor?
I think this Good Friday, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of gigs on. But I think in 10 years' time, Good Friday won't be any more busy or quieter than any other Friday.
Just be a normal day.
It's a novelty. You know? It's pure Irish. Like, oh, you can't drink on Good Friday. So the amount of house parties that have been going on anyway.
Yeah.
And this year, the pubs will probably be mental on Good Friday. Whereas, like, you know, we'll get over it.
Just a pure novelty, like. Yeah. But, like, look at St. Patrick's Day, like, the weekend we just had. If, like, St. Patrick's Day now is just a fucking session. Yeah. Whereas when I was younger, it kind of be the parade and stuff. Now, I know there's still parades and stuff go on, but, like, right now, it's fairly much a fucking piss up. So, is that the Irish attitude to drink?
I think that's definitely abroad. St. Patrick's Day is an absolute piss up. Because, like, the best St. Patrick's Day I ever had was over in Chicago, and we started drinking.
Ooh, Chicago or Drumconner?
Myself and two friends went to the Southside Parade in Chicago, and, like, oh my God. Like, we were drinking bottles, these, what do you call them, the 40s or 50s, or I don't know, whatever. They're like big bottles of beer, and we're drinking out of brown paper bags, like homeless people, and on the train, and we should like take a train out to this place, basically get off in a ghetto, and then take from the ghetto for a bus from the ghetto to the South Side, and like it was just brilliant. It was brilliant crack. I think drinking like a day drinking session is a lot of fun.
Oh, day pints, creamy day pints, but like I'm on about the Irish attitude. So wedding, funeral, communion, confirmation, christening, right, all religious events. But what's the first thing you think of with any of them events? With me, it's session. There's a session. Wedding, session.
Yeah, okay, wedding is one thing, but I don't understand the big piss-up at christenings, communions, confirmations. Mm. Like, if you're having a lash at the communion, like, what are the kids at?
Kids are hopped up and...
That's it, they're on coke and bacon fries. They're fucking happy out, lad.
Cans of Fanta.
Going around the place flaking lads for money, like, we know, wearing them communion badges. That's, I swear to God, they should try that in the credit union. People are paying back, no bother. No, with a communion badge, people say, ah, it's you make your, there's a tenner. Fucking grand, quid's in.
I wouldn't be a man. I don't think I've ever gone drinking at a christening.
Don't know. I have anyway. Yeah.
Like, so I get it for the mother. Like, she's probably one of her first chances to get out on the piss and the lash after having the child.
And the father, should he made the baby?
So he gets out to wet the baby's head.
Yeah, but fuck it, lads. You can't get out, I tell you. You can't get out enough, because the next 3 or 4 years are probably going to be fucking misery. You'll be sitting in every Saturday night. But I just think the Irish attitude is just anything at all. Like, and I know that there are religious events I've touched on there, but I just think atting at all is just a call for a session, which is a bit, to be honest, it's probably a bit worrying. Like,
yeah, I think it's nice to socialise with friends, though. I think that, like, so a lot of my friends now are like pregnant or like have small kids, and like trying to get them out is impossible. Like, you know, like, because they have to organise a babysitter and that. So like, I'm kind of thinking like, go out in the session while you can, because
make the most.
Well, suddenly you're in your 30s, and then it's just like, oh crap.
So the country don't have a problem with alcohol, do we? Do we have a problem with binge drinking?
Oh, should it, this term of binge drinking, well, how many units is it, Maura?
Anything more than 3 beverages, I think.
I'm sure that's like, who can
have 3 beverages in 10 minutes, something. 3 steins. These steins, as you were saying, they're like the big, they're double pints. But the Guinness has gone stink by the end of it. Ugh. But let's say I drank it anyway, you know what I mean?
Binge drinking, to me, now, you want to be having 10 pints before you're binge drinking.
Yeah.
And less than that is just casual.
And less than that is just relaxing.
Yeah. Binge drinking. So, yeah, but this comes around. We're talking about the weather has a massive influence. If you're over in Australia, right? 35 degrees, mate.
Mm. Yeah. You can't.
So, it's roasting. You finish work at 4 o'clock. You have an old stubby. You'd have an old cold one. Cool you down. Do you know what I mean? In Ireland, you don't. I wouldn't be coming home from work having cans, like. You only go out the weekend. Unless the weather is nice. Yeah. Then we'll take up the Australian attitude for a week.
Okay, but what about like people who have a couple of glasses of wine every night?
I don't like that. I think
that... You think that's a worrying sign?
Yeah, I would... Like, I wouldn't... I try not to keep alcohol in the house.
Yeah, I think if people are drinking an awful lot at home, I'd be considering that probably is a problem. Like, you know, if you're going to the pub and you're socialising, you're there with your friends, you're having a bit of crack. If you're at home watching Match of the Day on a Saturday night and you're after having 12 cans...
Yeah, people say to me and Johnny, because they watch our social media, like, oh, I'd say he drink a lot. But we could say, hand on heart, we only drink in the pub.
Yeah.
I have no alcohol in the house.
No, nor me.
You probably have a couple of you know, gins. Pink gins. Gin. Yeah.
A bit of Bombay just for the odd.
Yeah, but that's it. Like, if so we wouldn't be out, definitely wouldn't be out more than once a week. Like,
no, and that's it. Like, once a week, probably one night out a week. Yeah. Yeah. Be it on a Tuesday in Dublin or...
And that, like, and that way you're not over, like, whatever, the amount of units for alcohol, like, the 21 units, you'd be underneath that. Like,
we're cramming more.
Yeah.
21 units, be fucking borderline anyway, more, yeah.
But if you're only doing that, I do think that, like, maybe because I see it more so in women with wine, and they start off, because they have the kids, they can't get out to the pub to drink. So then they start having a glass of wine at home, and then it's two glasses, and then sure, the bottle's opened, and then it's a bottle every night, and suddenly it's like, hi, my name is Maura, I have a problem.
So are women more susceptible to the old lady petrol, the wine?
I don't think women realise how strong it is. It's 13% alcohol, like, and actually that's French wine. If you go to, like, if you go for a Chilean wine, like, it says 13%, it's more like 15%, because God, it'd blow the head off you.
So women like their old glass of wine. I mean, men...
cans.
With men, it's cans, but like you know Johnny from playing in a cover band.
Oh, we were talking about this. The reason I think that lads drink a lot when they're out, they want to get up to that level fairly quick. Right, I'm shooting from the hip here now. You might say I'm crazy, but Irish men, in general, can't dance. Right? From 21st to weddings, I've played them all over the years in the cover band, and lads can't dance. The girls will have, you know, a few and get up and pop around, and the lads will be in the corner staring and mumbling, and fucking, this is some fucking bird with my giving her fucking lashes. I mean, like, and then they can't get out and dance until they're lamped. And then it's all arms around each other, like they're doing the Poznan. So I'm saying, in school, lads should be taught how to dance. And then when you go to the pub, you'll be able to get up and social dance. And it's a good way to get chatting to a girl, and it's a way of enjoying yourself and loosening up for the night, and you don't have to be Bananarama.
I'll be perfectly honest. I think men need a few pints to talk to women anyway.
Why? You're not scary.
Just, yeah.
Fuck that. I'd tell you, you wouldn't be approaching women.
You just battered Jacob Stockdale. Man, only have a grand slam.
He's a golden willy now going around the country, but honestly, very daunting. I would say 80% of men, Irish men, would probably say they feel they need to have a couple of pints anyway to get up the old persona, and, you know, a bit of confidence.
I just think that's, like, you know, there's nothing more annoying than knowing a lad fancies you and then he does nothing about it, but then, like, suddenly you'll get, like, a DM off him when he's really drunk at 4 a.m. in the morning, and you're just like
slipping into DMs. Yeah.
It's like, lad, just come over and say, hello, how are you, can I buy you a drink? How hard is that?
Yeah, you don't know. Feminism is at a fucking peak now, Maura. Do you want to buy you a drink? I can fucking buy my own drinks. Like you look at an American man, they'll go over to a woman in the supermarket and be like, oh my God, you're lovely, or whatever. Irish men, like, if they see a young one in the supermarket, I'm not buying that in gay now, I'm just buying normal fucking stuff. You know? So anyway, I'm just buying that food, like, oh fuck, wasn't buying that and strange, like, you know. But men are just, ultimately...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, have, like, do you know what, if you're feeling nervous about asking a girl out, have two drinks and then go over and talk to her, but don't be waiting for don't go over on the, like, the 8 pint,
don't go over with the pint of vodka Red Bull in your hand. Yeah. Saying, how are you getting on?
Did I tell you I played County Minor?
That doesn't fucking work. Trust me. So home drinking, that's a little bit worrying. Pre-drinking, I don't know, I'm over that now. I'm probably too old for it, but I remember, like, when we first start going out, you'd be banging into
when you're
short
of cash, like, yeah.
Like, so
that's when you're a student, like,
nag in the bag.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, like, your student grant only goes so far, you know.
Student grant. Yeah, to Tesco vodka, Tesco nagging, pain stripper.
Pre-drinks, yeah, I'm done with that.
Pre-drinks, done with that. I just don't really do it anymore. That's not worrying. I think that's just a cost-cutting measure. Yeah. So that's not worrying. Do you think you'd be able to give it up?
But, like, I could give it up, but it's like, I don't smoke, right?
Nor us.
No, I could give up alcohol, but I kind of, like, I do, like, I love it for going for a night. Thing is, like, right, I don't drink when I go to GA matches. I don't drink if I go to where there's children around. I don't like being around, drunk around children. But I do, like, I couldn't go.
You don't be rocking up to an old children's party. going on the bouncing castle, fucking buried, like. Jesus, Auntie Marla's at it again. Fuck.
But I like we were at a comedy gig last Thursday night and I had a really good time just having a few drinks. And now the women next to me, Christ, they were absolutely lamped, and like one of them kept touching me and every joke, and I was like, please stop invading my personal space, crazy bitch.
Like, you bad bitch.
That annoys me. That's where I'm kind of like, lady, you've a problem, so go away. Yeah. So,
Johnny, could you give it up, right? Here's my question.
I know I couldn't.
But why?
But like, I genuinely, could I give it up? I probably can, but we just chatted about this the other day.
I don't think, no, you wouldn't.
No. I actually don't think I could. And I don't think I have a problem with it. But like, if you look at it, Johnny, this weekend we're off. We very rarely have a weekend off. We're going to my sister's confirmation.
You're right, session.
There's going to be pints, you know what I mean? And then the
I don't know, I would happily not drink at that, like.
You haven't fucking spent time with my family yet. But no, like, you know what I mean? You're going to have a few pints, and then the following weekend we're gigging a couple of nights during the week, and then once again at the weekend, and then I have my friend's engagement party.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's another few drinks. That's two weekends on the trot.
Mm.
And then the following weekend there's probably something else. There always seems to be something coming up. But
you're just too popular, Johnny.
It's not that. I just don't want to give up the drink, man. I love not more than an old Saturday evening there if we have it off, and you go home, have the shower, get on the nice clothes, into the pub, then meet the lads, a few pints, bit of crack. For me, happiness for me is either a Sunday evening, I've Ant and Dec recorded, I'm sitting down with a pizza watching that, or else it's having a few pints with the lads. That, to me, I'm a simple man, and that's my happiness. And if anybody says I have a problem with it, they can fuck off, right? Simple as.
Okay, so my take on that is that if you say to somebody, right, you got to give up the drink, like we play GAA, myself and Johnny play hurling now, and it might come a time where they're like, right, lads, it's 2 weeks of championship, it's 3 weeks of championship, we're all off the beer now until we bait Clonmel or whoever, like. You can't just say to lads, you're off the beer. You need to replace it with something.
Mm.
So for me, when we played sport, I never had much bother giving up the drink because I was probably gigging on a Saturday night.
Mm.
So I was going out having to crack with the boys in the band, getting to play, getting to do what I loved. But the lads who were at home, like single lads especially, you're asking them to take a vow of celibacy.
Yeah.
You know, so what were we doing last night? I was at home, you know, watching Ray Darcy, like.
Yeah. On the hand pump.
Do you know? So you've got to get your kicks, and if you lads get used to, you come out of school and you go to college, and your big thing is you're out drinking, and if you're not out drinking, you're playing sport. But there's not enough guys who, I think we're talking about the Johnny eye. I think lads need to have something outside of work and drink. You should have a third element,
a substitute for the drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have the music, like.
Yeah.
And the comedy.
Yeah. But like, that's,
yeah, we enjoy that.
Yeah, there'll be times there, if I was off on a Saturday night, I might just go playing guitar there for myself for the evening, writing a song.
Yeah.
I'd be weird like that, you know?
Yeah.
I remember sitting down ages ago, and years ago when we used to live together, and the lads were like, you'd be sick of drinking, like, there's nothing else we could do. And then you said, sure, we could all just head off canoeing there now. And then he went to Thailand, the lads just said, fucking canoeing.
we live on the river shore, like.
Yeah.
There's a rowing club, like. Well, they don't row, whatever they are. They kind of canoe.
Go canoeing. And I remember the lads all just going. And then Johnny's like, back in a second, they're just going, fucking canoeing, huh? Canoeing.
Yeah, but then, like.
But I seen your point. I see it was something else to do, but.
And we could do it as a group of lads. Like.
But yeah, every group of lads in the country are sitting around saying the same thing.
Yeah, for my sister's hen party, like, rather than go for a day drink.
You went canoeing?
No, we didn't go canoeing. We went to Sky Park in Carlingford. And the girls all said it was the best part of the day. We went up, like, zip lining and, like, high work. And, like, there weren't sport. Like, there were some sporty girls. But all of them enjoyed it. So I think, like, you don't need alcohol to have fun. But if it's the only way you're having fun, then just look for something else in your life, you know?
Yeah.
So if we conclude that, the Irish culture, like, you see the Yanks coming in or whoever, and straight to Temple Bar, and all the Irish great crack and drinking, like, we're associated with it. Do we have a problem with it, or are we just fucking good at it?
I don't think we have a problem with it. I think we have a problem with telling people they might have a problem.
Okay, what are the telltale signs?
It just
sitting at home flogging cans every yeah. night of the week.
I think it's just where it gets to the point where, like, it matters more to you than the people in your life. You would, like, if somebody said to you, right, listen, don't have that drink, it's your turn to drive, and then you couldn't not have that drink, then you've a problem. Yeah. Like, you know, but
I think if you're starting to not be able to function, you know what I mean? Like, if you can't do your job every day, or if you can't do whatever, then you're pretty fucked. I mean, if I couldn't go on stage, like, without a few drinks, like,
yeah, that'd be a problem.
That would be a problem. Yeah, we're always sober on stage.
We're always sober on stage. Yeah, that's true. So. For the comedy, if we're doing a music gig now, you might
have
one or two.
Like,
with comedy, you need to be sober.
Yeah, comedy. Yeah, you should remember all your lines and shit like that.
The crowd need to be quite drunk.
So everybody in Ireland, relax. I don't think we have a problem. But if your friend is having 12 cans of Galahad every night, fuck it, lads. Will you keep an eye on him and have a word with him?
Yeah.
Happy with that topic?
Just again, to dancing. I think lads should learn to dance, and you go on a night out and you'd be all the better for it.
And if any of you fellas out there want help on chat up lines or anything, you can just personally message Johnny B on Snapchat or Instagram.
As if I know what I'm at.
Like. It was save it all for the Johnny Eye.
Coming soon to a television channel.
Yeah, well, you're going to be on that. Like, you're going to have to drop us the secrets of how a lad should come up and chat you up.
Yeah, we'll ask Jacob Stockdale.
Poor Jacob.
That's going to haunt you now. That's going to
fucking tell you nothing. Like, how should lads? Yeah, I think dancing is good. I think just confidence. And, like, to be honest, like, because I mentioned Chicago earlier on, right? I lived in Chicago for 6 months. I did a semester abroad when I was in college. And American men are just, they're a lot easier about dating, because if they're coming up to ask you out for a date, then all they're doing is just asking you out for a date. You go for a coffee, you go for whatever, you know, and it's nothing more than that. Whereas Irish lads seem to be like, oh, if I go on a date with this one now, it'll be around the town and it'll be Jesus, everybody's going to be like,
that's true.
Fucking,
that's
you
true.
Know, so like, if we could just ease off and the pressure on lads.
It's a really Irish thing though, even the posture of Irishmen. Like, and I'm desperate at it. Like, you know, if you see me walking on the road, my head's down, I'm kind of half fucking hunched over, like something out, the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Whereas, like the lads in the UK, they're walking around Edinburgh like, fucking hell, dude, like they own the place. Oh, they fucking probably do, but...
Yeah. Lads, I think we should save dating for a future podcast.
Dave, dating will be coming on a future podcast, possibly next week, maybe. Who knows? So lads, relax, we don't have a drink problem. And have a bit of fucking pride in yourselves.
Yeah, well, we're just fair good at it.
We're just class at it. Okay. It's time for this week's Yurt or Dirt of the Week. This is where we give our highlight and lowlight of the week. Johnny B, do you want to kick us off? Do you want to give us your dirt first? We'll start in a negative. How does that sound?
My dirt, I suppose, I think me and you are on the same page this week. The flight home.
Fuck yeah. Oh, lads. So we'll actually combine our dirts, if that's all right.
So... You were talking about the child.
Yeah, there was a child sitting directly in front of me. Now, looking at the child, I'm not a fucking pediatrician here or anything like that, but that child wasn't more than 2 months old.
Yeah.
And to me, I just think, don't be fucking ruining everyone else's crack. Don't bring the child on the plane. Like, unless, of course, you have to for some reason.
Yeah, like, this is an American family, and in fairness to your man now, he was doing his best.
The child was bawling, right? She was fucking bawling her head off. And I was just thinking, just give her a fucking doddy there or something. Like, if you drop a gripe water there, give it to her. She was crying non-stop, right? And then they swapped that child with another child. They didn't have her in the overhead luggage compartment or anything. But there was two kids. So one was around 3 or 4, and then there was obviously the 2 month old. So they put the child who was 3 or 4 into this seat. And for the rest of the flight, she kept banging down the armrest. Bang, 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 the whole way home. And the father looking at her. I feel like grabbing him by the throat and just saying, hey, tell her to stop doing that. Now, my nerves are at me. You know, 3 days of Guinness will do that, yeah.
Yeah, I think, where are you going with that child?
Yeah.
They're from America, flying from Edinburgh to Dublin. Like, unless somebody has died now or something.
I know a girl who brought her 2-month-old to Australia from Scotland.
No good. No good.
Fuck.
Why?
Have you a number for her?
She had friends over there. She wanted to go see them. So
she let the child at home.
She was on maternity leave. She might as well do a bit of travelling while I'm off work. So,
But like I think parents, if anything, as soon as they have a child, they deserve a holiday.
Mm.
But a holiday by themselves. Leave the child at home. Like, you know what I mean? Fuck.
Yeah. You can't go straight away, Johnny. You have to get with a woman. You can't be taking a woman away on a romantic
holiday.
Well,
I'm not saying she'd fucking pop the child out and straight on a fucking Ryanair flight to Alicante. Like, you know what I mean? I'd be giving her a couple of weeks, innit?
To recuperate.
Recuperate and whatever has to be done. I don't know.
What I mean? Like,
right, Johnny, give us your yurt of the week.
Edinburgh. Yeah.
The winner.
Winner, yeah. Like,
A big thank you, first of all, to the Three Sisters. It was them who brought us out there, and we're doing the gigs for them and stuff. And
yeah,
they're great establishment and great crack. But go on.
So the one thing that surprised me about all the Irish pubs was the amount of English people.
Mm.
There was a lot of English people.
Yeah, a lot of students. There's 5 unis in Edinburgh. So
that's because I think university is cheaper in Scotland than it is in England.
Yeah, and there was a lot of Irish students there as well. Like, they didn't get the pints in Ireland, so they went to Edinburgh. The runs of the litter are out there.
That's great crack. It was like what I imagine Mardi Gras is like.
Mm.
The place was hot. It was heaving by 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And most people were fairly well behaved.
Yeah, there was. I didn't see a scrap there at all, which is, like, normally St. Patrick's Day, lads just fight down the town, so.
Yeah. Ireland won the Grand Slam. That's all combined into the earth.
Yeah, I fully agree.
You know?
My earth of the week, I just watched it today, just seen the highlights on my phone, was the AIB Club Hurling Final.
Yeah, it was unreal.
Great game. Like, you know, really end-to-end, 2 class teams, and it's a draw. They're going to have to do it all again, so that my earth of the week is getting to see that again. So that's basically it. Happy enough. Lads, if you're still listening, congratulations. You've seen us at our worst now. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about Two Johnny's podcast. Just take their phone and download it. It'll be grand.
And thanks to the last episode, again, that's 4 in a row, went to number 1. So lads, big love out to you all.
Yeah,
thanks very much for that.
We can't thank you enough. We're very proud of this podcast, I think, from all 3 of us, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's class. Gigs coming up. What have we got coming up? If you're going to the AIB Sparks, we'll get an old photo with you.
Yeah, and we've got Cavan coming up, and Kildare and Limerick, and
keep an eye on the social media, lads. You get Johnny Me Tipman on Snapchat. I'm Johnny Smacks on Snapchat, and the same on the Instagram.
Maura, do you want to give out your Snapchat? No.
No.
You're right. You'll have a load of Jimmy Buckley fans just messaging you. Right, lads, that's the Two Johnny's podcast, episode 5. Hope you enjoyed. We'll see you soon.
Galak.
Lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies podcast. The Two Johnnies podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
The Two Johnnies podcast is a Big Ball, Small Ball production.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.